MechCast, Wednesday, December 29th, 2010. Mech Geeks, it's time for your MechCast, the show for Mech Geeks by Mech Geeks. I'm Adam, and this is the show where we discuss all things Macintosh. How you doing? Welcome back to what's going to be the last MechCast of 2010. Don't worry, you probably worried I was going to say the last MechCast and just stop there, but no, we're going to keep doing the show. I've been doing this for 6 years. I don't plan on stopping now. But I will tell you that the last week or just towards the end of the year has gotten really slow in terms of the Mac news. So I've been going through the stories and I was prepping a show for you. Not a lot going on, not a lot happening. And I then received a Skype text from a friend of mine, friend of the MacCast, actually fellow podcaster from way, way back in the early days, JC Hutchins. And he was asking me about what cloning program I used for doing my backups. And I thought, well, that's interesting. I wonder why JC's asking about that, because I would have figured he was doing that already. Being a MacCast listener, I figured he would know about backup. And we started having a conversation, and it turned out he had one of those experiences that changes your philosophy on backup for forever. And I asked him if he'd be willing to come share his tale and share his story with us. And I thought it was appropriate because as we get toward the end of the year, many of us make New Year's resolutions or resolutions. And I don't really believe in those too much. I believe more in setting goals for a year. So I think a good thing to do is set goals for yourself. And probably one of your goals, resolutions, whatever you want to call it, might be finally getting around to doing backup. And I'm hoping today's episode will help you along and help you toward achieving that, I guess, is what I'm going for. So if you're not already backing up, if you are already backing up, it's an interesting story and you can probably relate to it, or you might find some tips or tricks or things like that of interest. So I hope you enjoyed this episode, a little bit different for the end of the year. Also, I guess at the end of the year here, I want to say thank you, which I don't probably do enough, but thank you for being a MacCast listener. Thank you for being a part of the community. As I said earlier, I've been doing this for 6 years, and it's been nothing but a wonderful, positive experience. I'm hoping to do more in 2011. It's been a good end of the year with my push to go full-time with the podcast. It's going very well. Many of you have become MacCast members, and I thank you for that. That's going a long way to support the show. Also, all of our great advertisers helping keep us in bandwidth and keep food on my table. And I would appreciate, if you're thinking about a MacCast membership, really, it's a couple bucks a month, not too bad, and you get some extra content, and it really does, just those few dollars each person contributing really is going to make it possible for me to continue to do the MacCast and to continue to put more and more effort into it. And I hope to do, one of my goals for 2011 is to do exactly that. So please check out the membership program. Member.maccast.com is where you can find all of the information. And let's thank a couple of those show sponsors who are also making this whole thing possible. Circus Ponies, makers of Notebook. You know, I talk a lot about Notebook, but that's because I think a key word for Notebook is it's a versatile application. It's one of those that once you own it, you'll find you use it for all sorts of things. And it's because it really can adapt to different needs. I think about students who are getting ready to go back to school after the holiday break. It is great for taking your class notes. You can choose, if you're the type of person that wants to keep all your notes in one place, you can create one notebook file and then create separate sections for each class. Or if you're more the type of person who wants everything in its own place, you can create individual notebooks and keep them all kind of organized and together. And what's great is as you're taking notes, you can do things like get recordings of your lecture. So if you're the type of person who maybe is not that great at taking notes, but you want to have audio to go back to review, well, you got a recorder built right into the application. If you're more of a visual person, you can throw together diagrams. It's got great drawing tools. You can illustrate things. You can throw in clippings if you're doing research, stuff like that. And it all gets indexed. It all gets cataloged. If you like to have notes alongside the stuff that you've written down, little post-its and things like that, you can drop in post-its. You can throw in flags, tag things. It's just unbelievably useful when you start getting in and really drilling down to it. If you're going back to work after the Christmas holidays, you might consider it as a new tool to help you take notes around the office and keep things organized. You can put together checklists and put in to-dos and schedule dates. And it just is really a great program. And it's got that perfect metaphor of a physical notebook. You can customize it to your heart's content. You can have graph paper or legal paper, whatever type of visual look that you want to have or style that you want to have to it. And they now have the new iPad version. Many people had been wanting a version of Notebook on the iPad so they could transfer back and forth. You can do that now. So you can find more information and details on that. You can get a free trial of the desktop program simply by going to circusponies.com. And I will say, if you want to check out the iPad application, it does have a custom interface for the iPad. So it's quite a bit different than the desktop application. Take the time and check out the videos that are on the website. It'll really help you along to figuring out the interface on the iPad. They did the right thing in customizing the interface to make sense on the iPad, but it really is different from the desktop version. And I noticed a couple people commenting on that in the reviews on the iTunes store. So check it all out, circusponies.com, and a big thank you to them for their support of the MacCast. Also, a big thank you to Citrix, makers of GoTo Assist Express. If you want to try it out free for 30 days, head to GoToAssist.com/MacCast. You sign up for a free trial. And this is a great program if you are a consultant, if you have clients and you're trying to help them out with Macs and PCs, things like that, and you're finding you're having to run around, go all over town between your different clients, you can save yourself a lot of time and maybe even multitask if you're maybe at a client's working on something, but you get that phone call and you have another client you need to help out really quickly. Rather than putting them off and saying, oh, I'll be there tomorrow or the next day, you could literally launch your GoTo Assist program, send them a link, and within minutes be remotely controlling and remotely troubleshooting their system. And they can see what you're doing. You can get in there, you can look, and you can see all of the stuff they have going on in their system, what applications are installed, how much memory they have installed, and help them over the phone all at the same time. You can actually have multiple sessions of GoTo Assist running and all over a standard internet connection, so you don't have to worry about if you're at a client's changing their firewall settings or doing any of that. It works over standard protocols, but using SSL 128-bit encryption, so it's secure and safe. And you can get all of the details as well as a free trial by going to GoToAssist.com/MacCast. And a big thank you to Citrix and Circus Ponies for their continued support of the show. So backup is one of those things that you know you're supposed to do. We all know we're supposed to do. And there are really two types of people. There are the people that have figured it out, have done it, and for whatever reason, and typically the reason you're going to hear about in a minute, are avid and diehard backup people. And I am in that group. I had too many failures over my life where I wasn't doing backup and lost a lot of critical data. And now, as you know, I'm adamant about backup. And I think it's because I had that epiphany. Unfortunately for me and for many of us, it takes that catastrophic event before we change. And I think this is like a lot of things in our lives, right? We have all kinds of things that we know we're supposed to do, and we just never get around to doing. So if one of your goals for 2011 is to do backup, I wholeheartedly support that. And I really hope that some of the things that you hear in this episode might trigger or give you that extra shove to put you over the edge. But we had our friend J.C. Hutchins, who he's a great science fiction author. If you haven't checked out his stuff, he wrote the Seventh Son novel. You can find it on Amazon. Great book to pick up, great read, a lot of fun. And he also does some consulting and is working on some screenplay stuff and just put out an app you'll hear about at the end of the show. So you can check out his stuff over at his website, jchutchins.net. But he was willing to come on the show and talk about this most recent issue he had with a hard drive failure and not having backup and share his experiences with the community. And I was very glad that he was willing to do that because it's not easy to do. So I admire him, and I know that to admit that you didn't do something you knew you were supposed to do and sort of share that experience so that maybe others don't suffer the same fate is a really brave thing to do. So anyway, here is my conversation with JC. So JC, welcome back to the MacCast. How you doing?
Well, Adam, I wish the circumstances were a little bit better, as we will soon discover. But I'm doing great, and it's always a pleasure to reconnect with you and talk to you. You're in my ears every week. And despite the fact that we only talk about once a year, on Skype, I feel like you're my weekly friend.
Well, I think you're a little bit closer to me now.
I've recently moved from Florida to Colorado, and hopefully business will take me to the California area throughout 2011. So maybe I'll be able to connect with you in person for a change.
Yeah, I might have to get to Colorado too. There's a bunch of Mac people in Colorado. Jeff Gamet from Mac Observer, and iPhone Alley podcast with, is in Colorado. So I might have to get out that way one of these days too.
Yeah, we'll have like a little Mac meetup. It'd be like a little herd of nerds. It'll be great.
That would be lots of fun. Well, I wanted to get you on because we connected, I think, on Skype the other day, and you mentioned something to me. Now, normally, you've been on the show in the past, and I think a lot of my audience knows you from the Seventh Son book and from your sci-fi writing. And so normally, you're telling tales of science fiction. But today, we've got to discuss probably what you could describe as a horror story.
Right? That's the best way to describe it. Yeah.
You get dark sometimes in some of your writing, but I don't know if you.
Oh no, never this dark, Adam.
I never know if you can term it, if you could really term it horror.
No, this is a moment that made my blood. You hear about in books, you hear about in stories that people tell, around the campfire, that all the blood drained from his face and he was as white as a sheet. Well, that happened to me, and I felt faint, and I had to sit down, and my jaw was open, and I felt lost at sea. I had no idea what to do.
Yeah. So I think we've kind of teased this. I want you to fill everybody in on what happened. And we're not talking about a story, unfortunately. This isn't fiction.
Yeah, this isn't fiction. I woke up on Christmas Eve day, and at the time of this recording, that was just a mere days ago. Right. And woke up and went to my laptop, my MacBook Pro, which is connected to. Oh, Adam, I don't know if you've seen them like close up, face to face, but it's connected to my 27-inch cinema display.
Oh yeah,
yummy. I still can't believe this thing is sitting on my desk. Well, I shook my little wireless Mighty Mouse and woke up the screen and looked and went to check my mail and had a spinning beach ball when I was kind of like hovering over the Finder. And right. So I thought, well, okay, well, I'll just do a force quit, and force quit didn't seem to do anything. Okay, well, I guess I'll have to do a hard reboot. So I opened up the laptop and gave the power key a push, and seconds later I was staring at a gray screen with a folder on it with a blinking question mark.
Oh no.
And it was like the theme from The Omen. It was like I was mortified, and I knew it was like, okay, well, I know what this may mean, but maybe all I need to do is just chuck my Snow Leopard install disk in there, boot from the CD, and run disk utility, and right. This and it'll work its its Apple Mac miracle, because that's what it always does. And it said this disk could not be repaired. And that's when the blood drained from my face.
So at this point, you kind of knew it was probably something wrong with the hard drive.
I hadn't experienced directly a firsthand kind of experience with a failing hard drive. So I wasn't fully informed on what the symptoms were. So when I went to, you know, the Apple store, I called AppleCare right. And they basically said, it sounds like a hard drive failure, you know, take it to your Apple store. I was still, my hopes were still kind of high because they have Disk Warrior and they have tools there that I don't have. And sure enough, I went in and they plugged the thing in and they were able to, you know, use tools that I didn't have. And the man, he was like, he felt 8 feet tall, right? You know, he was a really, really tall guy. It was also appropriate. And there I am, meek as a lamb, sitting on this stool, and he's kind of towering over me, you know, almost godlike, and was essentially said, your hard drive is dead. And then we had to discuss next steps. And next steps were essentially, you know, we're going to put in a new hard drive, and you're going to have to restore from your Time Machine backup.
Right. So before we get to the backup thing, I'm just curious, how was Apple? It sounds like Apple was pretty helpful through this process.
They are always. I mean, they have always just delivered. Always exceeded my expectations. Even when I call about dumb things with AppleCare, I mean, mm-hmm. I paid for 3 years of coverage, and by gosh, I'm going to use it. If that means that I'm, you know, asking them a dumb question, well, I paid for that privilege. But you know, they've always been terrific on the phone. They've always been terrific in person. When I rarely have a problem, you know, there was this particular MacBook Pro. It's a 15 inch from it's a mid 2009 model. Had a problem with its trackpad, and I took it in, and you would have thought that I was walking on. They just treated me like royalty, right. and that was no exception in this case. Because the news was so dire, his delivery of the information wasn't quite as cheerful as, oh yeah, we can fix that trackpad, no problem. You know, it wasn't right. it wasn't like a movie from the 50s or Leave It to Beaver, but it was certainly constructive and so thoughtful when I would ask questions, right. Needed context. And, at one point, I confessed to him. I'm like, I feel like I'm going through the stages that one would go through if they were told they had a terminal illness. First, I don't believe you. Now I'm accepting it. But now I'm bargaining with you. Are you sure that we need to swap out the hard drive? Are you sure that we can't fix this thing here and I can just walk out of here with the same hard disk that I had, that's currently in the machine, all that stuff. Right. And he patiently, walked me through the emotional steps to eventual acceptance.
Right. So you do have AppleCare, so they were like, "Oh, we're gonna cover the replacement of the hard drive." And
absolutely, and within that alone, paid for the parts, labor, and service that would require if I hadn't had AppleCare, because the laptop is out of warranty now, out of the original. Right. Warranty, more than paid for it with this particular, fix.
Right. Yeah. Luckily, I mean, hard drive swaps are pretty easy, but just, for me with AppleCare, it's that whole experience, right? It's the not having to worry. It's kind of like a little bit of a background insurance policy on the hardware. And just to know that you can call them up and go in like that. And then they just, most of the time, like you said, with the trackpad, it's a, happy, cheerful, we can fix that. No problem. So, and I get what you mean about this. This is like when it's a hard drive failure, when it's something that, is a more major repair where they really have to take it in, they do kind of get somber. They get that, that sort of hospital doctor.
Yeah. Yeah. And the guy, he even went to the lengths of, I was like, well, I don't fully understand. Like, what do you mean it's damaged? And it was like, it was almost like a Vegas illusionist. He like opens up a drawer and like pulls out with a flourish of his hand a hard drive, right? Yeah. With the little enclosure, kind of removed. And he says, well, let me explain the physicality of what happens in within your hard drive. And then he, you know, pointed at the little spinning disk and, you know, gave it a spin and pointed out the little arm that goes back and forth and explained it all to me. Oh, and, wow. You know, it was just really, like I said, it was like a really great kind of consultative experience, because I came away, you know, not just knowing that I was going to be taken care of and my issue was going to be taken care of, but that I'd actually kind of learn something. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. I mean, that they're actually doing some training and kind of educating you about your Mac is kind of a cool thing. And they've been doing that. That's something relatively new, I think. The few times that I've gone in recently, it's sort of been the same kind of experience. So I don't know if that's a training thing that they've changed, or I'd probably have to talk to some of the geniuses and find out. But it seems like they are trying to do a little more teaching.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I really felt. Yeah, I mean, he didn't have to do that. I mean, he could have just, you know, just kind of either conceptually explained it or kind of waved away my questions. But I mean, I guess that's why they call them geniuses, because I mean, I didn't toss a question at him that he didn't know the answer to.
Very cool. Very cool. So the diagnosis, dead hard drive. Before we get to that, did they run like Disk Warrior, some of those
other
tools? So they did use those tools.
They did. You know, they used like, it looked like some kind of in-house diagnostic, right? Mm-hmm. And then he ran Disk Warrior. And then there was a moment where, you know, Disk Warrior kind of came back with semi-positive news, but when he began to look into the hard drive, you know, it became clear that Disk Warrior was either confused or couldn't access certain things, and that's when he said, no, you, like, we can't. If I try to dig into this, it's just going to damage the data even more.
Right, it's flatlined. There's nothing we can do. I meant to ask you before you brought it in, or before that morning, was there any indication? Did you have any kind of early warning signs, or it was just sort of like you took a couple days for the holidays, went to go back to use your machine, and boom.
Yeah, no, that's a great question, and the answer is there were absolutely no symptoms. And there were no symptoms up until let's say midnight December 23rd when I went to, finished my business for the day and went to bed, and then got up and something happened in the middle of the night. You know, Santa Claus came.
Well, isn't there a counterpart to Santa Claus? Or wasn't there originally a counterpart to Santa Claus?
Yeah, we'll call him the Anti-Claus. Yeah, he came.
Oh man. But yeah, so no clicking. Like a lot of times you'll hear people say that, you know, they heard the hard drive clicking, or we're getting, you know, a lot of beach balls all of a sudden and that sort of stuff. But I think that's a good point leading into the next thing, is that, you know, a hard drive failure or hardware failure can happen. Sometimes there are indications where something might be going wrong, and other times it just takes you by surprise.
Poof. And, you know, and I, when I was talking to the genius, I said, well, this seems like the human body equivalent of just having a stroke,
right?
Like, you know, out of nowhere, right? And he's like, "That's exactly right." And that's kind of how I'm, you know, that's how I'm trying to make sense of it in my head, is that sometimes things just go wrong, and we can never, you know. I don't know about you, but I'm a big fan of the question why. I love finding out why things happen, why things, you know, how things work. But this is one of these kind of technology, you know, snafus where there is never a why. Just be, you know, you just have to kind of live with the consequences.
Right. And so then you've been listening to the MacCast for a few years now, and so you had them replace the drive, and you went home and you got your backup and you restored, and everything was wonderful.
Well, Adam.
Right?
No. Well, you know, here's the thing, is that
I'm teasing you, of course.
Yeah, of course. And Adam, I mean, you know, just so you and your listeners know, I mean, I've been with you since episode one.
Yeah.
I mean, I have been like, you know, a quiet champion, but a champion ever from the beginning. And every time, year after year, frankly, week after week, you know, when you said, back it up, time capsule, back it up, time machine, super duper carbon copy cloner, I always just kind of, you know, went, huh, Right, whatever. So the reason why I did that is I think that I, you know, have it's certainly not a laziness thing because no. It requires no effort to back up anything, particularly if it's automatic. I guess I was drinking the Kool-Aid in a way that I didn't really understand until my hard drive died and I had no backup and I had lost more than 10 years of my creative work. I mean, I'm a storyteller. I'm a novelist. I'm a screenwriter. Right. I'm a blogger and a podcaster. I'm a lot of things, and I'm a graphic designer. I mean, heck, all of the files and templates that I do for my freelance, work, as a graphic designer and business writer, all of it was gone, and it was like kind of standing in the middle of a big smoking crater and just kind of looking around and just wondering, well, what am I going to do now? I mean, the guy at the Apple store was really great because he said, well, we don't have a hard drive in stock that's 320 gig. You know, we often do a one-for-one swap. Right. When we pair these things. So I'll give you the 500 gig model so we can get you in and out today. And that was really, really generous of him. And I really appreciated that. But that still didn't solve the issue that my entire digital history, you know, that you could put in ones and zeros on a hard disk was now absolutely gone.
Yeah.
Gone. And the only, you know, and Frank, you know, thank heavens that, you know, for that I use MobileMe and, you know, Gmail for my email services. I was able to, you know, repopulate my mailboxes and retrieve all of the email that I've sent and received over the past, you know, blah, blah, blah years. But man, and, you know, when you're dealing in content creation, as you well know, you need those files,
right.
You know,
right.
And I didn't have them.
So it wasn't a total loss, and that's one thing I want to you know, coming out of this, I think we're going to have some positives, and you know, not to harp on the backup thing, but can you described a little bit of the experience, but I mean, what runs through your mind, and I can kind of relate because I've been there, and I've talked about this on my show too. You know, I didn't do backup years ago. You know, I've been doing backup for years, but I was in the same position. And I don't know what it is. You talked about sort of feeling invincible with Macs, like the you know, your Mac doesn't break down all that often. So you think, oh, well, nothing, you know, nothing bad's going to happen. And you kind of get complacent in that way. The other one that I get, and it sounds like this wasn't one of your things, is just that people think it is a hassle. They think that, oh, yeah, I know I should do it. It's like a lot of things in our lives, right? There's a lot of, we should eat better and maybe we don't eat better. We should, you know, we have a lot of things and it's easy to make excuses and say, oh, I think it's too hard or it's too difficult or I don't understand the technology or that sort of thing. So that wasn't what was going on in your case, or was there a little bit of that too?
Well, you know, here's the thing, and I haven't told anybody this, is that, I mean, on the day that Time Capsule, that the wireless hard drive backup system, you know, became available, mm-hmm. what, back in 09, right. maybe late 08, early 09, I bought the 1 terabyte model.
Mm-hmm.
So I've actually had a Time Capsule for nearly, let's say, 2 years.
Right.
The reason, I mean, I was asking for it, right? I mean, it's like that scene in Caddyshack where the guy is playing golf during the thunderstorm, right? I'm asking for the lightning strike. The reason why I didn't use Time Machine and Time Capsule was because, and again, this was my mileage when it was first released, was that after the initial backup, which they recommend that you do through Ethernet, I was depending on wireless backup from my laptop to the Time Capsule, and that never played nice. I don't know what they've done since, because I know that the experience is flawless now, or it seems to be. But back then, it was really hinky, and like it would drop, and it wouldn't back up, and you know, and there I was, just kind of like, well, if it's not going to work, you know, well, for, you know, I threw up my hands. Well, forget it, you know.
Right. It turns you off. Yeah,
right.
I mean, if you have a bad experience, that's common. I mean, that's understandable, right?
Well, to a degree. I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, paint myself in a heroic or, you know, like a justifiable light. I mean, because I had you the kind of like the prophet of backup every day, every week, you know, like giving me the good message on the MacCast, and I still outright ignored it. But
it could be like the annoying, you know, nagging.
No, not anymore.
Or wife or something, right? Like that.
Not anymore.
I become that for a lot of people, I imagine. And you know, I don't want to do that, but I think, and I've mentioned this on the show, I was so happy when you said, you know, I will come on and talk openly about this, and we can, because I do get those emails, and I say to people on the show, and I think sometimes people don't believe me, I hate getting the email of, I went to the Genius Bar, my hard drive died, and I lost all of my iPhotos, or I lost all of my music. How do I get my music back? How do I get my photos back? How do I get my digital life back? All my work, you know, like you're saying, all my writing, poof.
Gone, man.
And you're going, I don't have a good answer for you.
No. So. I mean, all you can say is like, do you have a flying DeLorean? Can you go back in time and help you, you know, and tell your past self to listen? Because yeah, I mean, it's like, and I think that, you know, it's unfortunate that crises, you know, often do, you know, they often do two things. They challenge us to rise to the matter at hand. But they also will burn us to a point where we understand, well, never again, you know, I will never put my hand on the stove again, you know, right. That sort of thing. And, you know, and that's kind of what this crisis, you know, eventually did for me. But getting back very briefly to this idea of, you know, drinking the Kool-Aid and feeling invincible. I mean, I want to make it clear that, I mean, like maybe you and me and a few of our closest buddies, but you're hard pressed to find a more faithful Mac, you know, not only fan but consumer. I mean, you know, they drop it, they release it. I'm an early adopter. I'll grab it whenever I can afford it. And I don't even have a podcast to kind of justify this stuff like you do, you know, like a news podcast.
Right.
And I think that what this is that between kind of the historical kind of highfalutin culture that we kind of hail from, the Mac snobbery that we cannot argue doesn't exist, because it absolutely does. But I'll tell you this, I mean, when I went into the Apple store and he asked me if I'd backed up and I said no, and he slapped that hard drive on the table, on the desk before me, the first thing he said was, Apple puts the same hard drives in their machines that you'll find in a PC. Because there are only so many manufacturers
right.
to choose from. And, you know, and it's, there isn't like a Mercedes of hard drives, apparently. They well. Just, you know, and, you know, yeah. well, yeah, you know, there are, of course there are grades, but right. the point, the key takeaway is that you're not getting, in this particular instance, you're not getting anything better than you'd find in a Dell.
Right.
Yeah, you know, right. and that, you know, and that really kind of that rattled me, and that and again that educated me.
Right, right. Well, I mean, related to that is, and you hear people say this all the time, but it really is true. It's a hard drive. It's not a matter of if it will fail. It's just a matter of when. And even the top of the line ones can have a manufacturing defect.
Right, and you'll never know when it'll happen. I mean, I'm looking at a Mac Mini right, you know, sitting right next to me that I'm using to talk to you right now, and it's a Generation 1 Mac Mini, and it's from the very beginning, and I've never had a problem with its hard drive. I mean, so you never, you know, and that's been what, probably 5 years ago I bought that, whenever it was. I mean, you just simply don't know. So I mean, you know, you're absolutely right when you say it's not a matter of if but when. And sadly, it took me standing in the smoking crater and looking around at the desolation to become a true believer.
Right. And it's important for people to understand that with hard drives, because, you know, we talk about backup, and we're gonna talk about backup a little bit and what you're doing now. I want to, before we get to that, talk about the recovery process or potentially recovery process, because we don't talk about that too much. And I have a feeling that maybe you were able to get some things back, or I'm hoping there's some positive stuff there. But just on the hard drive thing, when we get to backup, you're going to be backing up, in a lot of cases, two hard drives. And so you have to recognize, too, that your backup drives could fail and might fail and will fail.
That's right.
That too. So that's why it becomes multiple locations become important. I think we'll dig into that a little bit more. But I want to find out, were you able to... So Apple swapped the hard drive. Did they give you your old hard drive back to then take some place to maybe get some recovery or...
Well, here's how it was explained to me, and I can't say if this is the gospel or not, but it seems plausible, was that I asked that very question, and the guy kind of paused, and he said, "We're not supposed to." And I said, "Well, why?" And he said, "Well, because Apple is going to send, Apple is going to send this back to the manufacturer and get its own kind of recoup loss from that,
and
right?
They do that, yeah,
right, precisely. So so that made a lot of sense to me, and that's when I paused and I said, "Look, I wouldn't ask you to do anything that you ethically wouldn't feel comfortable with, but you have to understand that this is that my entire 10 years or more of my life is in the broken thing in your hand. And if there's a way that I can get some of the data back, please, the only way." And he's like, "Look, I'll do it. I'll tell my manager." So that option will probably be available to other people, if this happens to them, but it should never happen to them because they should be backing up.
Right. Well, I mean, did he give you the option to sort of take the whole thing back, do your recovery, and then bring the – I mean, that – when I've talked to them about that, this situation before, that's usually an option. I mean, they don't have to fix it right that day. Once they've assessed that your hard drive's broken, one option is you leave the Genius Bar, you make a new appointment for a week later or however long you think it's going to take to do the recovery process, and then come back.
That didn't even occur to me. I was just mostly concerned about dealing with the immediate problem. But
did he ask you to bring the drive back? I'm just curious.
No, when you were done. He did not, but I offered to. I said, okay. And he replied, "They're going to take this thing apart, to retrieve the data, and it will be worthless to us then."
Oh, so maybe you couldn't even have probably taken it away then. I always figured that you'd just be able to do the recovery and then bring it in, but
right. And to be clear, I mean, I don't want to make this sound like that I am Apple PR or something, telling it like it really is. I'm just only sharing my particular personal experience.
Yeah, and everybody needs to understand. I mean, and that's something we talk about with the Genius Bar, because I'll get different stories about different experiences. And some people say it was real positive and this was my experience. And then sometimes you hear negative things, not all that often, but occasionally people have different experiences. And you have to understand, and I try and stress this when you're going to the Genius Bar, is that it really is at the discretion of not only the Genius, but also the managers in each individual store. So everything is handled slightly different. Apple has kind of overreaching policies, but they can be bent or changed or interpreted differently at different locations. And I really try and remind people about that. And that's why I also try and remind people, when you go in there, even if you're frustrated or angry or upset, you're going to get much better service if you can try and remain, calm and understanding of the policies and listen. And a lot of times I think what happens is if you're willing to sort of take that approach, they are more willing to kind of make exceptions, and they understand, they're technology geeks just like we are, and they've been through the same things and they see it all the time. I had a great story of a coworker who had bought a new MacBook, and she brought it home. It was her first Mac. She had never been a Mac owner before. She was all really excited, and she had a kid, and she brought it home that night and was setting it up and had it on her lap on the couch, and the kid came up and grabbed the screen, and it flipped over and smashed.
Oh,
yeah, brand new, literally hours old. And she came back to work the next day just devastated and said, "What am I going to do?" And I said, "Well, accidental damage is not covered by Apple Care," because she said, "I bought the Apple Care because you said buy the Apple Care," and I said, "Yeah, but it's not going to be covered. This is user damage." And I said, "But And she said, well, should I go in and say, you know, I opened it up and I, you know, it was that way when I opened it, which I know people do. And I said, no, you know, what you do is you go in, at the very least, they're going to tell you what it's going to cost to fix. And then you're going to have to make a judgment mm-hmm. call. And mm-hmm. actually it might be covered by your credit card company or some other protection, consumer protection that you might have. But I said, go in and just tell them what happened. Explain right. what happened to them. And you never know what they might do. And sure enough, she told them her story. And the guy goes, you know what? You know, I'm supposed to charge it. Here's what it would normally be. But let me talk to my manager. Went and talked to the manager. And they swapped it out.
My God.
You know, and they're not going to do that for everybody.
Right.
Like I said.
Right.
But it's always worth a shot. So, but had she gone in and tried to, like, trick them or something like that, they're going to smell that a mile away, and they're going to go, they're not going to.
Oh, totally. Yeah. They've experienced people who are better liars than you and sniffed them out too. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's just, you know, always be nice. And, you know, one of the mantras that has kind of propelled me through a lot of my kind of creative career and the fearlessness, you know, that I have, the occasional moments of fearlessness that I've had in, you know, connecting with influential creators or colleagues or, you know, people who would typically be well beyond my sphere of communication or influence and work with them. My mantra has always been, all they can say is no. Right. But the only way they can say no is if you ask.
Right. Yeah, and just give them the straight up information. So mm-hmm. well, so that was great. So he worked it out and said, okay, go ahead. I mean, he was understanding. And so what did you end up doing? I know, like, you know, the big company out there is Drive Savers, but I had a office coworker who actually found somebody local that was a little bit more affordable. And I don't know if you don't have to disclose how much it costs, but you could maybe put it in reference to.
I'll happily tell you all that stuff.
Okay, well, so you found somebody to do some data recovery, though?
Well, what I did was, is I asked, you know, the towering man, the towering Apple genius. I said, God, can you help me? And he said, why yes, I can. And produced a little card, like a little, almost like a small, like, cardboard flyer for. Right. A company near Denver, which is where I live now, called, I think it's called Sector Logics, right? And he said, this is, you know, they specialize, you know, they have, you know, Mac facilities and whatnot. And I right. said, okay. I said, well, that's interesting. Okay. And, you know, and he, you know, kind of said he recommended them and then sent me on my way. And I came home and I started thinking about it. And I was like, there are a dozen, you know, data recovery services that I can, you know, do work with online.
Right.
Right. You know, the company that you mentioned is one. There are, you know, myharddrivedied.com is another. And, you know, many of these companies are not only reputable, but have excellent recovery rates. But my pressing concern was, well, come Monday, December, 27th, I've got to go back to work as a right. freelancer. And I need my data back in my hands, or whatever data they can get from it, as much of that back in my hands as I can, as quickly as I can, because if I don't have that stuff, I can't eat. You know, I can't put food on my table. So what I decided to go with the local option, went in and dropped it off as soon as they opened on Monday, and was essentially told, there is a mechanical problem. We don't know what's going to happen. Here's what it's going to cost. And there was a very kind of reasonable kind of policy that they had that I'm certain many of these data recovery you know, services have, which is, you know, if we get back to you with the data and we tell you about the data that we recovered, and you're not satisfied, or if you don't think that's enough of the data to warrant spending hundreds of dollars that we're going to ask you to spend, then don't worry about it. Like, we won't charge you.
Right. They can do a scan and kind of tell you, I think, what they think they can recover. Is that the sort of thing that they did?
Right. And he was upbeat, but remained noncommittal, which is the way to be. You know, he's like, things look promising, but we won't know until we're in there and we're getting the data off of the damaged drive. So anyway, he kind of explains the policy, and then he says, it's going to be $900.
Wow.
Oh, but because of your referral from the Apple Store, we'll take off 10%. So, okay, that's, you know, $90 is $90. And I mean, and that's a big deal, but we're still talking more than $800. Not to mention the new hard drive that I brought with me to, you know, when I said, here, look, if you pull any data off of it, please put it in this, you know, this hard drive that I've brought with me that I had to buy new. So, you know, that was like $150 right there. My point is that, you know, no matter what lesson I was going to learn from this, it was going to be a lesson that was going to cost me at least $810.
Right. Right. And that's a lot of external hard drives. Cause I know another one of the things that goes through people's minds, especially when I say, back up to two hard drives. You should probably buy two hard drives, I tell a lot of people. And they go, oh, two hard drives. Well, that's, you know, $300.
No, who cares? Who cares?
No, right, I mean, that's the point is if you don't do that, you're looking at $500, $600,
$1,000
to get your data back. And I'm now curious, and how much of that data were they able to bring back?
Well, you know, it was like this crazy, you know, waiting game where you're doing everything you can to not think about it, and yet all you're doing is thinking about it. Right. And so for me, you know, I dropped off the drive on Monday. I received a call from them yesterday, Tuesday. So we're recording this on a Wednesday. Yesterday, and they said, well, things look really, you know, things look promising. We're going to get all the data on a drive and let you know, you know, tomorrow, meaning today, right. Wednesday. Yeah. And I got the call and I went in and he said, you know, he gave me the whole spiel. It looks really good. We don't know. You're not going to know until you go into it. So here's your hard drive back. You know, here's the hard drive that you brought us to put the data on. And then he asked, do you want us to recycle the drive, mm-hmm. the damaged drive? And I said, sure, you know, strip to take the data off and, you know, do that. And he said, sure. And I came home. And about an hour – so this is about an hour before you and I began talking on the phone. Mm-hmm. I opened up the drive and I started looking through the files, and it's all there. It's all there.
Wow. Were they able to get the structure back too? Like
the structure back, everything.
That's unbelievable.
It was a frickin' Christmas miracle.
A costly one, but at least
a costly one. Well, you know, I mean, man, I tell you, I mean, there's like things that you learn in, I mean, it's like the knowledge and the firsthand experience alone is kind of worth it, because you right. come away, you know, smarter and you know, and more evangelistic. I mean, frankly, I mean, you know, back it up, guys. I mean, I can't talk. It's like I am now your kind of faithful sidekick when it comes to the back it up, you know, story. Right. I will say, yeah, what he said, you know, to the cows come home, because there was absolute, just like there is no guarantee that your hard drive will be here tomorrow, the thing that's kind of clicking along in your iMac or your MacBook Pro, there's also no guarantee that the data that was going to get yanked off of that failed hard drive is going to be worth anything.
Right. Right.
I mean, so it's like, I mean, this is like a strange convergence of events with, thankfully, a very happy ending for me, at least so far. I mean, sure. I haven't opened every file to see if they're, you know, to Absolutely. See if they. But let's pretend, let's kind of assume that, you know, all signs point to yes, because every file that I have opened works properly. But it couldn't, but it might not have been that way. In fact, it's highly unlikely that it should be this way.
Right. Well, you never really know. And, you know, I've talk to other people who have gone through the recovery process, and they get a certain percentage back, or sometimes you'll get it all back, but it's not, they're unable to sort of rebuild the structure. So you're going through a bunch of cryptic files that have weird names, and oh, that's that file, and you're having to spend hours sort of rebuilding and reconstructing the data. So that was great that they were able to recover that data structure, especially if you try and do it yourself. Like if you try and go the cheaper route, there's some tools out there that you can run. And I've tried a couple of them when I had one of my issues. Like I said, in my case, and this is another thing to think about once you've gone into doing backups, I had a Mac that I was working on, and I had Time Machine set up on it. I had backups set on it, up on it. And I forget specifically what I was doing, but I was doing something where I had disabled the backup.
Mm-hmm.
And did all the work that I needed to do on it, and then never turned the backup back on.
Oh, God. See, it's so easy to forget. I mean, well, you depend on it, right? Yeah, yeah.
Right. You did set it and forget it thing, right?
Yeah, yeah, right.
And that's why one of my newer mantras, and you people have heard me say this on the show, is not only do the backup, but periodically go back and make sure that the backups are still there. And, and you know, check that external drive, you know, run Disk Utility on it, make sure it still seems healthy. Like we talked about earlier, you can never really know for sure if a hard drive is going to fail. But if you run the tools on it once in a while, you know, once a month or every so often, then you can check it or make sure that you can boot from that carbon copy cloner or super duper bootable thing if that's the case. And so I've gotten in the habit of when I, you know, go to the machine, just I go up to the Time Machine icon. Oh, yep, it ran, you know, click on it. Oh, yep, it ran. And every once in a while, I'm like, wait, it didn't run. Or, you know, I open up Super Duper's log and it says, oh, it failed on this date. Well, why did that fail? And just double check things. So
I love that tip, Adam, of checking the health of your external backup hard drives using Disk Utility. I mean, like, I never would have thought of that. That's a great idea.
Yeah. I mean, it just takes a little bit of time to run, but you know, and you don't have to be, I don't get diligent about it, but every once in a while I go, oh yeah, you know what? I haven't run Disk Utility on all my disks in a while. I probably should take 15 minutes here and just do that.
Yeah. Well, none of it's like, I mean, there's like two things that popped in my head. The first thing is that, you know, thanks to like a program like iCal or, you know, Google Calendars, you can just kind of set a monthly recurring note, you know, and when it pops up, you just kind of do it. And the second thing is that we're not talking about chopping wood. Right. You know, I mean, you know, this is like a couple of mouse clicks, guys, and that's why, you know, on December 24th, when my hard drive died, and I was, you know, sitting in my car after I went to the Apple store and they gave me the news, I was kind of sitting there and I was absolutely furious with myself. I didn't, you know, pound on the steering wheel or anything, but it was like a seething kind of self-fear, you know, self-directed fury, because all it required was mouse clicks. Right. Like I said, we're not even chopping wood. I mean, it's just like, it's so simple and so effortless. And especially Apple has made it so effortless with Time Machine, for instance. You know, and these third-party developers have made their solutions really simple. We don't, you know, I hate to say it, I hate to parrot you, Adam, but we don't have a good excuse anymore.
Right. Well, you know, and then so people will with Time Machine, because I get some flack sometimes, because I'll say, you know, if you do nothing else, you know, if you just want to get started with this, I think the absolute simplest way is get an external drive, double the size of your mm-hmm. internal drive. So if you have a 250, get a 500 gig. If you have, you know, I don't even know if you can get a 500 gig now. It's pretty much, you know, I think it's a terabyte, but whatever, you know, double the size of the internal drive on your Mac, get that size external USB. Doesn't have to be anything fast, doesn't have to be anything expensive. Plug it in and flip on Time Machine. Right. And I'll get people who say, well, Time Machine's not a perfect backup system, or it has issues, or we can make a million excuses for it or to not do it. But you know what? If it works, so even if you assume it has flaws,
right?
If it works, you're that much more backed up than you were yesterday.
That's right. And then of course one can counter with, I mean, God, listen to me. I am a true believer now. and one can counter with, well, Time Machine has issues, so I'm not going to use it. Well, you know, I would call the bluff and say, well, then find a third party solution that seems to, you know, that has better, that has allegedly better results, and put your money where your mouth is. $40. I'm telling you, man, a $40 for a license for one of these things, or even less, or free in some cases, is absolute. I mean, you will sleep better at night. I mean, and let me tell you, with the kind of the very aggressive backup plan and equally effortless, I might add, backup plan that I'm now using for my data, I am literally sleeping better at night because I know that, you know, a missile could take out this house and I'd still have my data.
Right. Okay. So let's talk about, so now you went through the whole experience. You had the epiphany. You had the the moment that says, okay, now I understand. And so what did you end up doing? What plan did you end up with?
Well, I did mention that I've had a time capsule since they were first released, and that I had bad mileage with them before. Well, I don't know what Apple put in the water since then, but it's working perfectly now, at least for me, both with a wired backup and a wireless backup. So I have two computers. I have a MacBook Pro and a Mac Mini. The Mac Mini is using Time Machine to back up to using Time Machine to back up it and its connected, external hard drives that have like my movies and my music and my photographs on them and archived material. All of that's getting backed up to a, 2 terabyte drive. Right? My MacBook Pro is talking to Time Capsule, also using Time Machine. And so it's getting backed up to another, the Time Capsule, which is a separate hard disk. Right. In addition to that, there are, I'm now in the process of, now that I have I've retrieved my files. I will soon deploy a plan to back up what I'm going to call mission critical files to, and these are just like, my creative projects, my freelance stuff, the stuff that, really I can't live with. I can't live without in the digital world. Right. That's going to get backed up to a separate hard drive. So there's going to be redundancy there. And I'm going to use, Super Duper for that. So I can target a specific external hard drive to back that up to. I'm going to have, USB drives that will also, copy these mission critical files. And then in addition to that, I'm also using an offsite backup solution called Backblaze?
Backblaze, yeah.
Yeah, Backblaze to upload my content to the cloud and where I can do a remote restore there if needed. I hear great things about Carbonite, our dear friend and kind of mentor from afar, Leo Laporte. Says lots of great things about it, and I believe every word. But being a user with external hard drives and Carbonite does not support that, I had to look for an online solution that supported my connected externals as well, and Backblaze is one of them.
Yeah, I ended up with the crash plan for the same reason, and because they had a pretty good deal on a family plan, where I could cover all the computers in my household plus the externals kind of under one service, and I've been happy with that so far. But again, I think all of these services make it a little bit easy for people to go, oh, it's too much hassle to figure out which service or what to use, and I really. If there's one thing I want people to take away from all of this is just that, start small. I mean, do one thing.
Yeah.
Do the clone thing. Do offsite. Do just pick one to start with, and then you'll see that it's really not that difficult, and then you'll probably start to become more willing to kind of do other things. Ultimately, I think the goal is like you're doing with your plan. You want to have about 3 locations for the stuff that is really critical. And you also have to do an internal assessment. I've talked about this as well. There's certain things that, if you look at a file or you look at a piece of data and you go, you know what, if that was gone tomorrow, I wouldn't care.
Right.
If you can honestly say to yourself that, well, then you don't need to back that up. Right.
Right.
You could say, if that went away for forever tomorrow, I would not lose sleep. I wouldn't think about it. I'd just move on with my life. Then, yeah, you don't need to do that. But, if you're talking about your entire iPhoto library and it's got, 15 years of your kid growing up,
right,
that thing better be in 3 places.
At least,
one better be offsite. Right. Because you are going to really care if that was suddenly gone tomorrow.
So, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. Do one thing, but then start doing that assessment and go, okay, what stuff would cause me not to be able to earn money tomorrow to put food, like you said, put food on the table. Well, that you want that stuff in a place and backed up in a way where if your hard drive failed tomorrow, you could be back up and working and not have to think about it. So start to formulate the plan and pick whatever tools make sense for your specific situation. Because it's kind of hard to, backup is a pretty personal thing in terms of what you're going to back up and how you're going to do it. But find what you're comfortable with and just go with it.
And to be clear, you know, I think and perhaps you know, the PC side, or I'm sorry, the Windows side of these backup programs is different. But my experience using the programs that, you know, and the online services that I'm using is that it seems like, and maybe this is just kind of like a part of the evolution of software and the developers better understanding of end users and our comfort levels. But this stuff is so, you don't have to be a power user to understand it. Everything is, at least in my experience, has been so kind of one or two or three click simple kind of, you know, execution, you know, right, in terms of, you know, setting up a drive or setting up a schedule or whatever it is, that, I mean, again, they've taken so much of the worry and the technicality out of the process because they understand that in the end, we just want to sleep at night. We just want to feel like we're protected in the best way. And trust me, they're gonna do that. But you have to trust me enough to pull the trigger and you got to trust me here when I say it's absolutely worth it.
Right. Well, I really do appreciate you being willing to come on and talk about your experience and talk about this, because I think for a lot of people, it's hard when you go through an actual data loss to kind of admit. I know when it happened to me, it was like, I thought long and hard, do I talk about this on the show? Do I admit that I did this thing where I turned off my backup and I forgot to turn it back on and I lost data? And I said, you know what? You need to, because that will kind of hopefully save somebody else, I guess is what I hope. And if people feel like I harp on this stuff, well, it's because if I can get one person who doesn't lose their data and one less email of, you know, I need a recovery tool or I need a recovery service, or that email of, I can't do my work now, I should have listened to you, I hate that email.
and trust me, you don't, as you well know, that horrifying feeling of absolute helplessness.
Yes, helplessness, really.
It's absolute helplessness. And again, like the kind of self-inflicted fury that I could have done something about this. I could have been doing something about this for years and never did. I mean, you know, it'll scare the belief right into you. And another thing to kind of consider, you know, as I was kind of thinking about this is, you know, there's stuff on your computer that you have your computer is almost like a scrapbook, in that there is stuff that is on that disk that you have completely forgotten about. Mm-hmm. But let me assure you, as I've kind of gone through this data retrieval process and looked at the files, that were retrieved by this company, there's stuff in there that I had completely forgotten about that I would have missed, you know, if I. Even not knowing, you're right, you know, so it's kind of like the basement or the cellar or the storage, you know, facility that you rent once a month or whatever. It's like there's stuff in there that has meaning, that you may have completely forgotten about, that requires some TLC, not just the stuff that puts food on your table, but the stuff that kind of makes you and has kind of chronicled your life. As long as you've had this machine or multiple machines, and there's, you honestly can't put a price on that.
Yeah. Well, again, thanks for coming on and being willing to talk about it. What else is up with you these days?
Well, you know, these days I'm kind of laying low in the podcast space. But what I'm doing is writing, you know, screenplays, and I'm working on a novel and a couple of movie scripts that we aim to kind of shop around and sell in Hollywood, which is cool. But for folks who might be interested in my fiction, you know, typically I'd suggest, well, buy the hard copy of my book for, you know, $8 or $10 on Amazon, but you can actually access the text and the unabridged audiobook of that for free as part of a new Mac iOS application that we recently released that kind of has lots of interesting features within the app that kind of brings you into the conspiracy government secret filled thriller world of Seventh Son, the cloning thriller, this book that I was just talking about. And if you go to iTunes and no, actually you can just go online, go to KilroyApp.com. That's KilroyApp.com. You'll get 7 applications in one for the price of 99 cents. So compare, you know, $10 for the hard copy versus 99 cents for the, you know, the PDF version and the unabridged audio version. And you know, that's pretty good. That's a pretty compelling deal. Plus 5 other applications to kind of keep you tickled.
Oh, cool.
Well, Adam, I can't, you know, I honestly wish that I wish the circumstances were better to bring us back together, but I'm always honored that you're willing to chat with me. And thanks so much for, you know, all the kind of personal guidance that you've given me through this process. I really appreciate it.
Oh, well, you're certainly welcome. It was great to hear from you on Skype. I mean, I also wish the circumstances were a little bit different, but I think we able to turn it into a positive thing, because I think a lot of people will be able to take away from this experience, you know, whether they're doing backup or not doing backup, just additional information. So that's what we try and do. And I appreciate you being part of the community and willing to share all that.
Absolutely, sir. Well, thanks so much and have a great new year.
You too. So there you go, JC Hutchins. Thanks once again to JC for coming on the show and sharing his tale with us. I wish it was fiction, but turns out it's really not, and hopefully it's not a story that you'll ever have to relay or tell to anybody. But I don't think I need to say anything more on that. That's going to do it for this year, I guess it is. I hope you have a very happy and safe new year, and I will be coming back to you in 2011 with many more MacCasts. Before we get completely out of here, I do want to thank all of our show sponsors. Circus Ponies, makers of Notebook. You can get a free trial and check out the software and get more information at circusponies.com. Phoronix, makers of Deep Freeze and Power Save Mac. Check out their stuff as well as get free trials over at phoronix.com. And Smile, makers of Text Expander, PDF Pen, Disk Label, a bunch of great applications. You can get more information and details and check out demos at smilesoftware.com. Big thanks to all of my sponsors for their support this year. And if you have any feedback for me, anything you want to let me know about, a question, a comment, you can send email to maccast@gmail.com, or you can call in on the listener hotline, 281-622-4269, 281-MAC-IM-9. Leave a voicemail there or on Skype. My Skype address is TheMacCast. You can also visit the maccast.com website. There you'll find show notes, links to anything that I talked about on this or any other episode of the MacCast. Also find the archives and go back over the years and check out all of the MacCasts. And while you're there, be sure to check out the MacCast forum at forum.maccast.com. If you'd like to follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MacCast, or over on Facebook, facebook.com/TheMacCast. That's going to do it for this year. Until next time, Happy New Year, and I'll talk to you all again in 2011.